This is Using the Whole Whale, a podcast that brings you stories of data and technology in the nonprofit world. This is George Weiner, your host and the chief whaler of WholeWhale.com. Thank you for joining us. Most of us are familiar with the 401ks that get set up through our workplaces, but what about giving? How familiar do you feel most people are with workplace giving and the idea that we should be setting aside money each month to go toward causes we care about? Welcome to episode 21, where we're talking with Steve Delfin, the CEO of America's Charities. And America's Charities does exactly that. They help companies set these really fantastic plans up where employees can choose the charity that they want a portion of their money going to every month, and they also work with the federal government employees through the combined federal campaign, allowing millions of dollars to go to not-for-profits in an unrestricted way that allows them to do their amazing work. Today we're going to hear a bit about how technology is impacting America's Charities and the field at large. And I'm here with Steve Delfin, the CEO of America's Charity. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing well, George. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How are things in Virginia?
Things are great in Virginia. We are trying to raise more money for some great charities that we represent, trying to get people to think a little differently about how they engage with philanthropy. So all is good, and we're doing great things trying to change the world.
Brilliant. Let's get a bit more specific on this as to, like, what is America's Charities? It's a broad name. What the heck do you guys do?
Yes, and you know, it's funny. It used to be very easy to describe what we do. We used to be primarily a membership organization representing a group of really top-quality charities and helping them get access into various forms of employee workplace giving programs, both in the federal government as well as in the private sector. But in the last 5 years, in addition to doing that, we're finding that we have to be more to all those parties. We have to help the companies better understand how to leverage their resources to help those charities. We have to help charities better understand the needs of employers and companies as it relates to philanthropy and CSR. And then as donors have more options and ways to give and engage, we have to take that into consideration as we look at how does workplace giving relate to the more contemporary and the current donor who has more ways to engage with nonprofits.
That's great. So you're getting solid nonprofits in the door of workplace giving. Can you give me an idea, top line, like how much are you helping raise in unrestricted funds every year for your, you know, aggregate charities?
So the total amount that we raise each year is in the neighborhood of $35 to $40 million. That is a relatively small amount of the total that's given through workplace giving, which is estimated to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 billion. But we represent a group of national charities that typically don't benefit from workplace giving at a local market level. So we actually have a kind of a unique niche in that regard. And as companies become more national and more global in nature, they are looking for ways to engage with nonprofit organizations that share that, not only the local perspective, but also the national and even global perspective.
Wow, that's a lot of money. I love the unrestricted dollars for nonprofits is fantastic. I'm a little confused, though. Like, what is workplace giving? I mean, is this like a jar at the door when someone shows up at work and they just, you know, drop in a dollar every day?
No, it actually is. We're talking about repetitive giving through workplace giving that's tied to payroll. So the average employee who participates in what's called a workplace giving program will give around $300 to $500 annually by having a little bit taken out of their paycheck each week. Those are pre-tax dollars, so they have that advantage as well. And we know from research and surveys that have gone on for a number of decades that this is not only an efficient way to give, but employees like to give that way because it allows them to make their decision and kind of set it and leave it. And it generates on per capita large amounts of unrestricted dollars for those charities. In our case, we're looking to deepen, get more people engaged in workplace giving, but also try to engage people in giving wherever they feel comfortable doing it. It's more the act of repetitive giving, annualized giving, in a way that's attached to your payroll. It might be through a portable giving account, much like you have your IRA attached to whatever form your income is. And then the education and the information attached to how that money is used, which I think is a big area where technology begins to come into play.
Yeah, so say a bit more of that. You know, how has technology really begun to play a role in this marketplace of, you know, making it easier to give?
Well, you know, if you look back, this is 2014. So if you just look back to the year 2000, so, you know, 14 years ago, online fundraising was in its infancy. And there were three or four seminal points that took people from giving through direct mail and through telemarketing and through direct gifts to using technology. One was obviously 9/11 and the creation of and use of online giving for that. The second was Katrina, where you saw online giving really gain its steam. And technology has driven all that and continues to drive it. So even in workplace giving, where technology is tied to payroll and it's tied to the employer's technology platform, you have a variety of platforms that can, in fact, help the employer better engage employees through more robust technology that the employer purchases to help them in their employee engagement and employee philanthropy program. So technology is a great enabler, but in philanthropy, you can't lose the touch. You still have to have people understand how their dollars are used, have opportunities to volunteer with charities or provide pro bono services. And so our job is to try to operate in this new and complex and sophisticated environment to help people both leverage technology for giving, but also use technology as a way to inform people about what they're giving to and the outcomes produced.
Gotcha. So just as a, I guess, benchmark or frame of reference of our, you know, 35 million, you know, this year, what percent is coming through digital means versus still like somebody writing a good old-fashioned check?
Sure. You know, I believe, although I have no quantitative information to say this, and probably you probably identified an area that we could do a better job in. I believe that probably 60-75% of the money we raised is done using a digital or technology platform.
I did some follow-up on what the true numbers were, because I really did care about this because it's significant. So we're talking about that, again, $200 million, give or take, coming from the federal government. And what happens is about 70% of that last year was through paper submissions, checks written to charities that America's Charities then processed. 30% came from online. Now, you're saying, well, what if we just suddenly switched to an all-online system? Wouldn't that create efficiency? Well, Florida State did exactly this, and last year they experienced a 40% drop in overall campaign giving, which is crazy because they stopped allowing any paper submissions, any checks from being processed. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it seems as though just a pure switch to online causes and can cause significant drops in overall giving, which could prove pretty devastating to this federal national campaign.
Now, you have to understand in workplace giving that there are many employees, and particularly as you look at the public sector campaigns, meaning government and state and local government campaigns and efforts, where you have employees who do not have access to technology, or you have public sector organizations and departments that don't have the budget for technology, and we've seen that come into play many times with the federal government. So you do have to be flexible to be able to provide the ability to give through payroll deduction through means that might be still paper-based. I know that's unfortunate, but you have to meet people where they are and where they can give. You have postal workers who don't have access to computers. You have military personnel who don't have access to the technology. So our job is to bridge the gaps while also being very cognizant of the fact that those gaps will be bridged around technology in both those instances in the future, and we have to be ready to make sure that we can still leverage that environment.
Yeah, and I think that's a good note. You're really trying to herd some cats, so to speak. You have to make sure land, sea, by air, by, you know, whatever it may be coming in, that you can aggregate and then sort of disperse these funds accurately for all of your member charities.
So I think there's two aspects of that. One is the aggregation aspect. And organizations like ours, and there's a handful like America's Charities, there's a group called Global Impact, there's EarthShare, there's community health charities. We all do essentially the same thing for slightly different groups of charities. And the value of the work we provide for our charities is we aggregate the money, we aggregate the data about the donors, and we provide that in an organized, timely, scheduled fashion to the charity so they don't have to hire people to do that work for them. And, you know, in essence, that's not dogs and cats who need to be adopted. It's not children who have a disease. But when you look at what charities do and are being asked to do, the complexity of reducing the complexity and the complications of the back rooms and the companies of the charity's infrastructure is a huge part of what we do and is what the value we bring in so they can, in fact, deliver more in the way of services to people in communities. So that's a critical role that groups like ours play. And it's from a branding perspective, it's a very difficult sell because it doesn't have an emotional appeal to it. So that's one of our biggest challenges.
Yeah, I don't think accounting is a very sexy sell, I guess, but certainly
we're America's sexiest aggregator. How about that?
Well, consider the crowd.
There you go.
Maybe there's a calendar option for you guys.
Okay.
Oh boy, and we devolve. You mentioned postal workers. You mentioned some government employees, and so you have a private sector, and you have the government sector. Can you tell me a little bit about that world and the combined federal campaign?
Sure. So in the world of workplace giving and employee engagement, which are increasingly becoming the same thing, because companies, all employers, realize that an engaged workforce is a workforce that's more productive, and a major way to do that is by allowing employees to connect to community, connect to volunteerism, provide their skills and resources for the better good of the community. So in the public sector, which is the federal government, state and local governments, those workplace giving programs are highly regulated. So in other words, there's rules of who gets in and under what conditions, and there's paperwork that has to be done, and there's compliance issues, there's vetting, there's all that kinds of stuff. So it's very much a regulated and compliance environment. So if you meet the rules and you do the things right, you get in the campaign, and then the campaign is run under certain rules, and money gets distributed and money gets raised. The problem is that over many years that particularly the federal government's been doing that, they have not kept up with the technology advances, and they have not put a lot of infrastructure into their work around this, unlike companies who've actually put more and more infrastructure into it. The federal government right now is in the midst of making a switch to trying to put the entire combined federal campaign, which is a $200 million workplace giving program. It's the largest workplace giving program in the world. And they're trying to take it all online in one fell swoop. And in doing so, are inadvertently creating disincentives for people to give who aren't going to have access to the technology who currently can give. And so that's a case where technology is an enabler and it will make things better, but there has to be a point in which you allow some of that transition to occur and then also acknowledge that some people, because of the nature of their jobs, simply don't have access to the technology you're putting forth and you have to accommodate them. Otherwise, they are kind of disintermediated from the process that they've been involved in the past, and that's not a good thing. And that problem doesn't exist on the private sector side, except that some companies are putting all of their marbles in technology to deliver an emotional appeal or deliver information about the charities, and in fact are putting too much reliance on technology and not integrating it into their broader employee engagement, employee communication strategies, which is a place where America's Charities comes in, and we help them develop programs and strategies to be able to do that.
Wow, lots to unpack there. But just to start with, the combined federal campaign, Steve, are you suggesting the government is not good at large-scale technology rollouts?
I'm more than suggesting that. I am saying that is a fact. And as we saw with the health.gov, and as we've seen with many federal rollouts of technology, their ability to enter the marketplace at a point where people have already been at for 5 years is difficult. So, and you're hitting that exact point here. What the federal government is trying to do and the assumption they're running under is that people will have access to technology. They will use the technology for giving in ways that they have not done before. but they are not building a technology platform that allows for that engagement to happen, nor to provide the information people need to connect the giving to the outcomes. So they need time to do that. They're going to need more time than the private sector because the federal government moves more slowly. The problem is they're jumping in with both feet, and they're not actually doing any testing, and they're making assumptions that you would never make in the private sector about how this would all play out. And that's where we think that they need to do a better job, and they need to move a little more slowly, actually.
Well, but Steve, just to play devil's advocate here, aren't we going to get like significant increases in efficiency on this campaign once it's digitized?
Yes, but. So where you have people who have access to technology, there will be efficiencies. The problem is that if efficiency is the only barometer then for your campaign, but you're not worried about how much money you raise in total, then your net gain on that for charity is a negative. So if you have more people using technology, but the ones who can't use technology can't give at all, so your net gain in fundraising is a minus something. And we've seen numbers that would suggest that's the case. I will give you an example that even in the private sector where we've seen that happen. I won't name the name of this very large technology company, ironically, who took their workplace giving program that used to raise several millions of dollars and said, we're going to put it online and put it as part of our employee assistance platform, and if you want to give, you go to that site and you give money. And it went from raising $3 or $4 million down to raising less than $100,000. So, you know, you still have to give the same people who gave before the opportunity to continue giving if you're changing to an all technology platform, and give time for that to occur so that people can actually make the switch and not feel like they are being left out of the process.
Yikes. Yeah. I don't know if any of the, if that partner rhymes with either Schmoogle or Schmamazon, but well, I assume it's at that level, right?
It's at that level. I will not say for fear of being sent something in the mail.
Fair enough. Nothing officially said.
There you go.
But can you give me an idea of any sort of projection on what the dollar amount on the drop that this might have on the combined federal campaign? You already mentioned it's the largest in the country.
Yeah.
What is the downside? Like, how much is there potentially at stake
So the Office of Personnel Management, which is the federal agency that is in charge of the combined federal campaign, and they are the federal agency that is basically the HR arm of the federal government. They think that through the changes they're making, they will see efficiency gains in the nature of $15 to $25 million in terms of efficiency gains. We think that's probably a high end, but maybe 15 million. The problem is by eliminating the ability to give by paper to the military and to postal workers and others who will not have access in the near future to technology, you're going to lose 50 million. So the net gain on that is a minus somewhere between $30 and $40 million or whatever the math is. It's a big, big number. And when you think in terms of unrestricted dollars being the types of dollars that leverage other funds, so every unrestricted dollar that a charity raises generally generates another 2 to 5 times that in other resources, either in-kind or matching gifts. So when you take $50 million out of the marketplace, you're really taking somewhere between $150 and $300 million out of the marketplace. And that's horrible public. If you want to put it in government's perspective, that's bad public policy.
Yeah, I guess if the only metric we care about is efficiency, it's good news. But to tell the whole story, it's really cutting off our nose to spite our unrestricted giving.
Yeah, I mean, if your metric is efficiency and you go from it costing 10 cents in the dollar to 7 cents in the dollar, and you do that, but you raise 50 million less dollars, is that really success?
I'm over the sound.
So just to change gears here, like, what is there anything people can do at this point, or are the gears already in motion? How do people take a positive step with regard to workplace giving?
Sure. Well, as it relates to the federal government, the gears are in motion, but there's always steps that can be taken. I mean, the Office of Personnel Management responds Two, people, things they hear through their members of Congress who are part of the Oversight Committee, and I won't, you know, go into all those folks, but there's Congressional and Senate Oversight Committees that are concerned about monies that get back to charities in their marketplace, because frankly, 30% of all federal monies that go to nonprofits are going to be cut out of the budget in the next 2 years, and so you really need these funds going directly to charities from individuals who want to give. So on the federal government side, it's making your elected representative aware that these changes are going on and that the real need is for OPM to be thoughtful, to engage people, and to slow down so that the changes they make don't do more harm than good. On the private sector side, the field is wide open. What's happened is, as workplace giving has moved from being about just raising funds to how does workplace giving fall into a broader employee engagement and corporate social responsibility program, charities who are involved with companies can really take an active role in getting their case to companies to be included in workplace giving programs and to take advantage of volunteer opportunities that they afford. As it relates to growing actual workplace giving, our research that we've done in the last 3 years shows that companies are still expanding workplace giving programs, but they're doing it using new technology platforms. And what they need are charities to feed them information and tell their story so that they can leverage these platforms with better content that they get from charities. And part of what we're doing at America's Charities is helping our members understand how to do that, in fact, providing that content to employers to use to feature our charities.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. You know, if you're, seems like a large company, you can come to someone like America's Charities and you're a plug and play. Let us help your people give more money, which, you know, leads to better engagement, more workplace satisfaction, and that sort of storytelling.
That's absolutely correct. And I think the thing the companies are struggling with, and everybody is as the economy tries to recover, most companies are still holding back on expenditures for anything that's kind of what they would call, kind of soft or corporate programs and services. So what we have to do in the nonprofit sector is help those people responsible for corporate social responsibility, for employee engagement and employee philanthropy, you know, justify the expenses that the companies are making in that area by showing them what the impacts are in the community, how those funds and those efforts and the individual donor dollars have actually helped make a life, make a difference in the lives of people in the community, and in many cases, help the employees themselves. So what we try to do at America's Charities is we're trying to help companies develop the strategy for how to best leverage the technology to best understand which charities are providing the most impact in the community, helping companies select those charities for special focus, and then providing them with the content around which they can drive their technology platforms, whether they have created them internally or bought them or get them externally from a number of the providers in the marketplace. And then finally, we have our own technology platform, which is a basic platform and works well for mid-sized companies. But more importantly, we know the marketplace for all the other guys who are out there who might be applicable for larger employers.
Awesome. So as we move to sort of like wrap up here, I've got an important question, I guess, just for you, which is, you know, why do you do this? Why do you believe in America's Charities in this issue?
Well, you know, I've worked, I'm kind of, there's a new term out there called tri-sector athlete. And while I am, I've been around for a number of years, I've been in this work for 30 years, I kind of view myself in that role. I started my career working for the federal government. I then went to work in the private voluntary sector for a number of large national charities. I then transitioned to where I was the head of CSR for Booz Allen, and then I've worked as a consultant. So I've approached this from varied points of view, but at the end of the day, it's what's now being called tri-sector athlete. So I know how to connect the pieces, and what I see with employee workplace giving and what's happening, I see great opportunity here. And for America's Charities, what it means for us is we're having to pivot a bit from our traditional role as simply a funds collector and distributor to an organization that helps our key stakeholders, which are employers, employee donors, and the charities, understand how to be more effective collectively. And that's when you look at what's happening in the sector now, it's all about how do we create more impact with scarcity of resources. How do we identify who's doing the best job in solving a problem? And then how do we attract the resources to those organizations that are doing that? And we see that as being a pivotal part of what we do. And technology is obviously key in all aspects of that, whether it's from creating awareness to creating the recognition of what's happened to showing what the impact is to actually raising the dollars.
Yeah, that's great. So how do people find you? How do people help you, Steve?
Well, let's see. So there's a couple ways people can help us. Any employer, large or small, who's looking to either start or revitalize their workplace giving program should come to our website at www.charities.org, take a look at the services we provide, and feel free to reach out to us on our website through our email there, or they could contact me directly, Steve Delfin, sdelfin at charities.org, D-E-L-F-I-N. Individuals who are looking to volunteer for nonprofit organizations that are part of our membership, they can reach out to us, or they can actually reach out to a number of our member organizations that are on our website who are looking for people to help them with pro bono assistance and kind support. But our niche is how do we grow more workplace giving programs. So we're really focused on employers right now, so particularly employers who are interested in rethinking, redoing, or considering how they do employee engagement, workplace giving, and their broader philanthropy efforts, should reach out to us through our website directly.
Steve, thank you so much for taking the time. As soon as Whole Whale gets to that, you know, tipping point past our 10 current employees, we'll be giving you a call.
All righty, George. I will I will get you involved before then, as you already
oh,
are.
Boy.
Okay, man. Okay.
Take care, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
It was fantastic being able to talk to Steve about this topic. He's a leader in the space and is extremely knowledgeable. Full disclosure here, I am a board member of America's Charities, and I'm a board member because of one simple fact. I deeply believe in giving not-for-profits unrestricted money, meaning it's not saying, go, you know, don't spend this on overhead, don't spend this on this, putting handcuffs on the money. I believe not-for-profits are the smartest and best people to decide where money needs to go. What's more, I think it can potentially really lead into what I deeply believe, which is the improvement of data and technology systems in nonprofits. And it's just not that sexy to say, hey, here's some money to go invest in your technology. People want on-the-ground impact. They want the stories that they can sort of put on the Christmas card, on their fridge. But I don't believe that's what's moving the needle forward. America's Charities and other workplace giving type of organizations like these are getting that type of money in the hands of great not-for-profits. What the combined federal campaign is suggesting doing, switching completely over to online, ignoring people that are only writing checks using a paper system, by switching over to online, you get efficiency. But the wrong metric followed blindly can lead to terrible results. I am very much at heart a believer in technology. You hear the way I talk about it. But technology is supposed to be an amplifier. It's supposed to allow and increase the ways we interact with organizations, the way we execute on what we're supposed to be doing in the field. It shouldn't be a limiting factor. It shouldn't be gated. It shouldn't be blocking people. And that is precisely what a simply online move by a combined federal campaign will do. And the data are there. It's going to chop about 40% or $80 million off of this total amount of unrestricted giving. And that bugs me. So ultimately, I hope that America's Charities is able to fight this, but more importantly, grow the size of the pie outside the world of the Fed and look to the private sector to make it a standard. As standard as 401ks are asked about when you walk in the door of the organization that you hope to work for, is, you know, as standard as that 401k is, I really hope it is. And what is your policy for giving on an annual basis, on a monthly basis? How do you handle workplace giving? Because it matters more and more, and that's how I truly believe we can get more unrestricted dollars in the hands of more great nonprofits. Thanks for joining us today, as always. If you get a chance, you can always go to the website, wholewhale.com/podcast, for all the helpful bits on this story. Thanks.